Psalm 19. In Psalm 19, we have two witnesses when you consider Psalm 19. They are witnesses to the Lord. And these two witnesses are powerful witnesses that God has given to the world. You understand witnesses? Two testimonies. Two testimonies. Yeah. And we're going to discover what those two witnesses are when you look at the scriptures here. And the first witness is creation, and the second witness is the Word of God. The creation and the Word of God are bearing testimony to the Lord. And this is a psalm that bursts out at the very beginning with words that I've often thought about this very scripture whenever I see something beautiful in nature or something amazing. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Now, another translation may read, what do you have in yours? Psalm 19:1.
The heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies proclaim the work of his hands.
Okay, so you could interpret, in the Bible we've talked about three heavens, one being the star, the atmospheric heavens, the second the starry heavens, and the heaven God's dwelling place. Well, these two cover the starry heavens and the atmospheric heavens. They are declaring the glory of God and showing the handiwork of God. This is what it says right off the bat. It's saying, look, look. There it is in front of you. The heavens are declaring the glory of the Lord. They are showing God's glory. They're showing God as is in his might and in his power. And so the first witness is this declaration that all of creation is testifying to the reality of God. It's testifying to the reality of God. Do you know that it takes effort to be an atheist? It takes effort to be an atheist, because an atheist has to block out the testimony of truth that is shouting to him all the day long. He has to continually block out the testimony of truth. It is amazing to me that we have scientists who study things, the creation, that is, and the incredibleness of it, when you go down right into the DNA and the spiral there. When you go down into all of these things and you see the complication of it and the incredible organization of it, and to think that nobody made it. Yeah. Maybe I told you the story of two young men I picked up hitchhiking years ago. We were heading for a gospel meeting in Margaree, and we were, Marie and I, we had a special speaker in from he was from Maine, actually. And there was two young fellas with their thumbs out, not very far from Marguerite Forks, heading towards the northeast. We picked them up. They got in the car and said, you know, how are you guys doing? We got chatting a bit. And they were from Arizona. And they were both going to university. They were university students, and they were decided they were going to hitchhike into eastern Canada and enjoy the sights and everything else. And so I just kind of said, do you fellas have any interest in the things of God or anything like that? And one fella said, maybe not so much. The other guy said, well, he said, something happened to me. Something happened to me, he said, when I was in university. And I said, well, what happened to you? Well, he said that we were in our science and he was taking astronomy. And he said the professor decided to show this film of what electron microscope, what things looked like in an electron microscope, and how when you went down inside you could see the nucleus and then all the other ones surrounding it in orbit around all of the organization of it, he said. So he went as small as you could go and you could see all this organization and everything in orbit and everything in its right place. And then what they did is, he said, they took you into as big as you could go into outer space. And he said, when I saw that, before that I was an atheist, but when I saw that the same organization down in here was happening out in outer space, that all this was organized and everything had an orbit and it surrounded everything else, it dawned on me for the first time in my life, he said, somebody made this. Somebody made this. But he didn't know any more than that. He had an experience that told him there is a God. And I said to him, we're actually on our way to a preaching meeting. And I said, wouldn't you like to know who that God is that made everything? He said, I certainly would. So the other fellow had to tag along. So they came to the meeting. And the man, and they preached the gospel, and that young man trusted Christ as his Savior that night. And even there, you can see the plan of God at work, right? Did it by chance that this man who was awakened in university in Arizona, who happened to be hitchhiking, that I happened to be coming along at just the right time, and this man who had a seeking heart met someone who was seeking sinners, myself, but it was somebody bigger than me that was seeking sinner. It was the Lord himself and brought him to that meeting and he trusted in Christ. I don't know where he is now, but I do know this. God is real. And through creation, through studying creation, he was struck by the wonder of a God who had made all things. The heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament shows his handiwork. Now, we've discovered in the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 18, it says, and I've been to this verse many times with you, but it is relevant here. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Now, what he says here is that ungodly people, what they do is they suppress the truth in unrighteousness. That means they try to make the truth of no effect. They try to nullify the truth. How do they do it? What truth are they suppressing? Because, Romans 1:19, what may be known of God is revealed to them. That's what the word manifest means, is revealed to them. It doesn't matter if somebody's living in the darkest of Africa and they've never heard the name of Jesus, God is revealing to them that he's there. How?
Creation.
Through creation. It says what may be known of God is revealed to them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by what?
The things
that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. God has not left himself without a witness and a testimony to the entire world of his existence. Because although they knew God, they knew that he was there, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts. And their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. They changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. And then we find God giving them over to judgment as a result of it. But I wanted to go to that verse to look at the witness that God has given. And it is so clearly expressed here in Psalm 19:1. And that is that the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament shows his handiwork. The starry heavens and the atmospheric heavens are shouting out, God is real. I don't know if I ever told you that or Marie ever said it to you. When I was first converted, Marie wasn't at the first. At first she said, I went crazy over religion, as far as she was concerned. And when we were traveling from Edmonton to Vancouver to San Francisco and then down through Texas and back to Cape Breton. As we were traveling, I said to her, she didn't have her license, and I said, Marie, I really want to hear more of the Bible. Can you read the Bible to me while we're traveling? I want it. She said, I know what you're up to. So she began to read the Bible. And we were traveling for hours on end, sometimes 12 hours in a day, 12 hours of hearing the Bible being read. And she was read and read and read. And I wasn't saying very much, But by the time we hit Texas, I didn't even know this happened, but Marie prayed a prayer to God herself. God, if this is true, if you're really there, show me. That was her prayer. As soon as she prayed that prayer, the sky, just, there was a thunderhead appeared in the sky. Huge thunderhead. We're out on the plains, on the prairie. It's like prairie in northern Texas, flat as a pancake, as far as you can see. This huge thunderhead appeared in the sky. And the sun was behind it. It was like majestic and powerful. Believe me, it was powerful. Because the next 2.5 days, right to Chicago, we traveled in that thunderstorm. We traveled with it. And there was lightning everywhere, just flashing all around us, hitting the ground, right, you know. We figured we were going to be fried a number of times. One point we pulled in behind somewhere and just huddled and waited to see if we were going to make it. But when that appeared in the sky and the sun was behind it, and it was just this mounted thunderhead, and it was just, she just knew right away, God was saying, look, I'm here. And from that point on, she became a real seeker of the truth, hungry to know God. She didn't get saved right then. It was maybe 2 months, 2.5 months later. At that point, she was saying, okay, God, you're real. I'm going to follow you. But she didn't understand the cross. And she didn't understand she couldn't follow God in her own strength and power. But the Lord opened her eyes to that, and she was saved later on. So there was a declaration from nature. God used nature to testify of his presence and his power. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. And then he says, there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Now, what he's saying is that nature is speaking, right? That's what he's saying. Day and night, nature is speaking. Day and night is revealing knowledge. And there is no place where it's not being spoken. Nowhere. Constantly, God is saying, I'm here. I'm here. I'm here. Through creation. There is an incredible witness to the world of the reality of God. And it takes effort, as I said, to deny the reality of God. And what a tragic place it is that people are aggressively seeking to take God down off of his throne and to make him non-existent and to glorify man and to glorify the world, and creation itself becomes their God, really. And all the while, God is speaking every day, all the time, day and night. There is no place where it is not being heard. God is speaking through creation. There is a witness here. He says, their line has gone out through all the earth. And when it says their line, it's like their truth. What do you have in yours?
Day after day, they pour speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard.
The next one.
Their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the end of the world.
Yeah. It's the word that's used here is something, it's like a statement or whatever.
The message,
yeah. The truth is going out through the entire earth, yeah. Psalm 19:4. And their words to the end of the world. Yeah. He's not talking about scriptures here. He's talking about creation. As a witness to the world, as a witness to us. And their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun. He uses an example now. He takes the sun. He says, God has made a dwelling place for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven to the other. He speaks about the sun and the glory of it and the brightness of it and how it rises up just like a bridegroom comes for his wife. He speaks here of the power of the sun, the order of the sun. It goes from one end of heaven and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. Its power and its heat is present. So he uses the sun as just one illustration of the glory of God and the power that comes from the sun itself. And when he says these things, it is for us to understand, listen, don't we see this? Oh, we ought to be giving glory to God every day. Mm-hmm. Give glory to God in the southeast wind, mm-hmm. because it speaks of the power of God, does it not?
Yes, it does.
Give glory to God when the thunder and the lightning roar. Give glory to God when the snow is piling up 2 and 3 feet deep. He is the one who has created the snow. Give glory to God when the sun is shining and everything is beautiful. When it rains for 30 days, give glory to God. He is in control. He is sovereign. And in all of this creation, he is speaking to us. Are we listening? Are we listening? Let me tell you something. If you are spending a lot of time complaining about the weather, you are not listening to God. You're not. God is in control of the weather. If there's anybody in control of the weather, surely we would have to say it's God. Would we not?
Mm-hmm, yes.
Has he allowed us to have a late winter?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Is he in control? Is he sovereign over these things? Absolutely. God is a sovereign God. Give him the glory. Listen to the Lord. Let nature speak. Now, I don't think nature is personified, but let God speak through nature to us, through his creation to us. And oh, how much glory will we see? How much will we praise the Lord as we see a beautiful sunset, as we see a butterfly go, as I see 9 deer in my backyard this week. 9 of them in the backyard. And spending time there for a couple of hours, nibbling on the buds of the apple trees, the end of the branches. And then I went outside because I had to go out and plow my driveway. Mm-hmm. And all the white tails flashing as they ran up the hill. And a little while later, they came back again. Yeah. Give glory to God. This is the creation of the Lord, the variedness of it, the amazingness of it. If you watch these programs of the fish and the sea and the creatures that are there, and how bizarre so many of them are, how strange they are.
Yeah.
And there's more than we could ever know or dream of in the ocean itself, besides what's creeping and crawling and flying on the land. Give glory to God. Give glory to God when you look at people and you see the variedness of the creation that God has given to us. Every one of us different, with different gifts and different ways of saying things and different approaches and different senses of humor and all kinds of weird people in the world.
Right? You think of one day we were going to the mall with Joe LeBlanc. You seen a deer cross the road, me and Geraldine sitting in the back, and you say, "Praise God!"
Yeah.
And he turned back and looked at us. "The deer over there.
Yeah.
he just got a glimpse. It was God.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But we have this privilege as God's people to see the handiwork of God, the glory of the Lord in a deer, in the fields, in the brooks, in the streams. But we're not left with just that witness. Great as that witness is, God says, "I have even another witness to add to that." One builds on the other. Praise the Lord. And so we move to the second witness, the second testimony in Psalm 19. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Now, the second witness is the word of the Lord. God's revealed word to mankind. The law of the Lord is what?
Perfect.
It's perfect. What does it have the power to do? Convert the soul. To turn the soul to God. Yes, I might discover the truth that God is real through creation, but oh, how can I be converted? I need the word of the Lord. What was happening to Marie? She was reading the scriptures. That caused her to do what? To pray. And God gave a testimony through creation. But then even more, she began to look in the word of God with a hunger now. And as that hunger grew, as she began to look in the word of God, she discovered the wonder of a Savior who had died for her. She discovered the wonder of the truth. She discovered what was right and what was wrong, but she also discovered that she needed a Savior to make it so in her life. Praise the Lord for the two witnesses that God has given to us in this respect, creation and the Word. It converts the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. It's a certain place. And so we don't have to wonder, is it true? Can it be? Is it real? Does God really save? Can he save me? Can he save me now? Can I be sure and certain? Can I have this foundation underneath me so I can lay my head on the pillow at night and know all is well? Can I go forward, whether I'm experiencing sickness, to know that it's still well with my soul, regardless of what happens? So that a man named Horatio Bonar, who was a great hymn writer, a preacher, who was traveling to Europe, who was going to go to Europe, and to do ministry, and his wife and children went ahead, and the boat went down. And they were lost at sea. And he wrote a hymn. He wrote this hymn afterwards. It is well with my soul. And it says, when peace like a river attendeth my soul, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Amazing. How can someone say such a thing? Because we know that the testimony of the Lord is sure. It's solid. It's true. It's real. And we're safe there. And what does it do? It makes wise the simple. It makes wise the simple. Now, it brings wisdom to those who had no wisdom. Oh, what a simple man I was. An atheist, thinking that I was master of my own destiny, captain of my soul, thinking that I was in control and that I could do whatever I wanted to do. What a simple man I was. What a fool I was. I fulfilled the scripture to the T. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. But oh, the word of the Lord brought wisdom.
Amen.
And does it continue to do that in your life? Does it not bring you into deeper wisdom?
Yes.
Oh, yes, it does. Oh, have you plumbed the depths of the wisdom of God? No. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it tells us that the truth of God, that in Jesus Christ, he is the wisdom from God. Jesus himself is wisdom from God. The statutes of the Lord are right. So we see that they're perfect. And we see the product is that they convert the soul. We see that they're certain and sure. And that they make us wise instead of fools. We see that they're right. Statutes, or that means the laws or the rules of God. They are right. And what do? Make you miserable?
No.
They rejoice the heart. Think of what the power of this testimony is. Yes, the power of the testimony of creation is to cause us to see that God is real. Am I right?
Yes.
Isn't that what it says here? And they show his handiwork and his glory. But the word of the Lord does something to us in converting, in changing, in transforming us. Look at the transformations here. The commandment of the Lord is pure. It's absolutely pure. And what does it do? It enlightens the eyes. It makes us see. I once was blind, but now I see. Amazing, isn't it?
Yes.
I see. Oh, we just said, all of a sudden, hymns that I sung before, Christmas carols that I once sang, I didn't know what I was singing. Now I see. Oh, yes. Jesus is the Savior. Praise the Lord. Oh, he has come into the world. He's come to die for me. Oh, when the lights come on, isn't it glorious? We were once in darkness. Now we are in the light, right? Praise the Lord. God who commandeth the light to shine in darkness has shone in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. How? Faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the word of God, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean.
Pure.
It's clean. It's pure. It's good. It's a good thing. The Bible says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Oh, my friends, as we get to know God, are we not left in awe of Him? Are we not in wonder of Him? You don't want to lose the wonder. A Christian ought to be growing in wonder and majesty and excitement about being a Christian, in awe of God. Oh, Lord, keep me there. And it is enduring forever. There is a sense where this fear, this awe, this reverence and respect of God ought to be a growing thing in my life. And still being able to say, I'm the friend of God. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether in every way. Everything that God has said is good and true. There are things sometimes we've read, even as young believers, you read some of the things that God decreed and said to do in the Old Testament, and a question might rise in your mind. Is that good? Is that a true judgment? Is that the right thing to do to wipe these people out? The judgments of the Lord are true. And they will be true down to the last days of Revelation when God comes and judges the world. He shall judge the world in righteousness. The word, the Bible tells us. And they are righteous altogether. His judgments are true. His ways are not our ways, the Bible says. His thoughts are not our thoughts. But we give Him the glory. We give Him the glory. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Your word is true. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And then He says, oh, what does that mean then? If all that is true, look what He says in Psalm 19:10. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. He says, boy, what am I going to do then? If this is true about the word of God, what should I be doing?
Desiring it more and more.
Oh, I guess so. Reading it more and more. Are you reading your Bible more and more or less and less? I wonder what it is. Are you hungry? Have you seen? Do you see? Oh, look what I've got. Look what I have here. And He gives us two comparisons here. One,
gold.
Much fine gold. You know what the difference between fine gold and gold is? What's the difference?
Fine gold is refined.
Yeah, better refined. Yeah. What do you say when you get a ring? Some is what?
18 or 24. 24 is pure.
Yeah, that's 24 carat. Yeah. That's fine gold. Yeah. Whereas 18 carat or what's the lower? There's even lower than that. 10 carat, right? You got there's much less gold. It's only some gold in it. Yeah. But fine gold, the purest gold, He said, more to be desired than fine gold. This is not the world. This is not the world, friends. The world wants money, and they want more of it. More than anything else, people want to be rich. If that wasn't true, right now, the hall down here wouldn't be full of people playing bingo. Because they wouldn't be going down there to play bingo for fun if there was no money involved. I remember one lady telling me, oh, I just go to play for fun. Because, and I said, is that really true? If there was no money involved, would you be playing at all? Putting numbers under B-I-N-G-O, you wouldn't be doing it. If it was true, there wouldn't be hundreds, thousands of people buying tickets every single day and hoping to hit the big one. Listen, this is the place to go, to the word, to the law, to the testimony, to the word of God. It is much more to be desired than fine gold. Is that our priority? Is our priority that God is worth more? The word of God is worth more than money. Not that money is wrong, but the love of money is the root of all evil. Remember that. And gambling promotes it. It promotes that. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. So now He speaks of gold. He speaks of that provision. Now He speaks of what?
Honey.
The palate. Mm-hmm. Right? The palate. And He says it's sweeter than honey. Sweeter than the best of foods. You know, some people love to eat. and they love, you know, cooking and making beautiful things. And it's fun. It's good, right? But oh, the treasure that we have every day to get up and to open the word of the Lord and see what God has to say. Remember, listen to what it said here about the word of God, right? It's perfect. It's sure. It's a safe place. It's a strong place. It's right. It brings rejoicing. It's pure. It enlightens your eyes. It brings an understanding of the awesome, mighty power of God and brings the fear of the Lord there. It's true and righteous. All these things. And he says, man, it's better than gold and better than the best of foods that you could ever eat. And on top of all of that, it warns us. It warns us. It steers us away from danger, right? Yeah. It steers us away from that which would destroy us. Boy, do we need that?
Yes.
It gives us guidance. That's what it speaks of here. Guides us in right paths, takes us away from that which would destroy us and bring trouble into our lives. And in keeping them, there is great reward. Great reward in it. Boy, isn't that a powerful section of scripture? Inviting us, calling to us. I'm going to challenge you and I'm going to challenge myself tonight. Oh God, make us hungry in a fresh way for your word, Lord. Yes. Don't let us rise up and run through our days, Lord, living on the dredges of this world. Lord, living on whatever excites us. Whatever excites us that's in this world, if it excites you more, and that includes catching the 4-pound bass, if it excites you more than the Word of God, we've got our priorities wrong. We're missing the real life that we have, and it will show up in your life. It will. That will not change your character. That 4-pound bass leaping on the end of the line won't change your character. But the word of the Lord will. It will change you to something beautiful. I think we need to sing a song. Okay? Let's sing this song. I never checked the chords on this. So I might be, where is, okay, here, give me a second. This is a song that I learned, years ago. You might recognize some of the words. It goes like this. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Yeah, that's something from, well, years ago. I remember learning scripture and song, and that was one that I had learned. And you know that I never forgot these texts once they went to music. It's amazing how once in a while I'd find myself singing these very truths. Great way to memorize scripture,
yes,
is to find a tune and put it to it. Now, I didn't do that myself. That was I remember having a tape that was called Scripture in Song, and it had a lot of different scriptures that were put to music. So what a testimony about the Word of God, right? Now, suddenly we find something that happens here at the close of this psalm. And here it is, Psalm 19:12. Who can understand his errors? What's he saying here? Who can understand his errors? What's that mean?
You need divine revelation.
Yeah, but what's he asking here?
He doesn't make any errors.
Pardon me?
He doesn't make any errors.
No. Is he talking about the Lord here?
No.
What's he talking about here? He's talking about us. He's saying that who understands what they're how wrong they are? Who really understands how bad they are? Who understands how wicked we are? Do we understand how wicked we are? How can we understand how wicked we are? How can we understand it?
When we get the truth.
Yeah, well, by the Word of God, right? All the glorious things that we saw that the Word of God brings, but there's something else that it brings, and that is it shows us up for how bad we are, how lost we are, what a sinner we are. We need to know it, because we won't know it ourselves, will we? We don't see it ourselves. Oh, how many years did you coast along thinking you were pretty good? You were all right. You weren't as bad as all these other people were. And suddenly, the Word of God reveals, you're a lost sinner. You're wicked. There's no righteousness in you. You're on your way to hell. Oh, who wants to hear that? Thank God that the Word of God would do that, because by the Word of God, we are warned. It is revealed to us, right?
Yeah.
And so, then what can happen when I understand how wicked I am?
Can be saved.
I can be, it gets revealed.
Yeah.
Cleanse me from my secret faults. Expose the truth to me and cleanse me, Lord. I need the Word of God to show these things to me, because I won't see them. I won't see them. Gee, I remember before I was saved, Marie, you know, she could speak her mind. And she often told me about some of my faults, and I had plenty of them. I never believed one of the things she said. I was perfect. I knew I wasn't perfect, but I thought it was pretty good. But Marie was faithful to point it out, and she's still pretty good to point out.
You were okay with what you were.
That's right. But when the Lord got a hold of me, when the Word of God exposed me, was I a devastated man. Thank God that I was, because I had lots of faults. But the Lord reveals them through his word. And so the psalmist says, oh, cleanse me from my secret faults. Listen, we still need the Word of God to shine on us, don't we?
Yes.
We need the mirror. And we don't want to forget what we've seen. We want to realize, oh God, I am wicked without you. I need you every moment. When you know how wicked you are, then you'll know how much you need Jesus every second. Then you'll know how much you need to be in the Word of God, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But sometimes we sin even though we don't know it.
Oh, certainly. And that's why he says, show me, cleanse me from my secret faults. Lord, I need you to be with me, Lord, because I don't even know what I'm doing sometimes. I don't know how bad I am. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sin. What's presumptuous sin?
What's that? The sins that you think you'd never be guilty of.
Okay.
You'd be too good to be guilty of those sins.
Okay, that's possible.
willful
sin. It's when you willfully go ahead and sin. Because you know, God will forgive me for that anyway, so I'm going to do it anyway. Presumptuous sin. So, you know, David, would that mean that we can be tempted to sin presumptuously?
Well, we can.
Yes, and so David is saying, keep me, Lord. I need you to keep me. Oh, yes, Lord. Let them not have dominion over me, oh God. Don't let sin reign over me. Because, thank God, through the gospel, it doesn't have to reign. Then I shall be blameless and be innocent of great transgression. So we can see that what the Word of God does, it enlightens us, it gives us wisdom, it does all these blessings, it fills us with blessing. It shows us the value and the excitement and the joy, rejoicing to the heart and to the soul. But at the same time, it will devastate us and show us where sin is sin. And then it causes us to do something. And what is David doing here? What's he doing?
Asking God to help him.
He's praying.
Praying.
Ah, he's praying. The truth brings us to prayer, doesn't it? We can see the great aspects of the Christian life being revealed in this passage of Scripture. We see the glory of God in creation. We see the glory of God in His Word. We see the glory of God in prayer. We see that it brings him to his knees. I need God. The Word of God has exposed me, and I need Him. And as a result of that, I have hope, and I have victory. I shall be blameless, and am innocent of great transgression. And the concluding prayer is this: let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart. Yes, there is. Yeah. I can't remember the tune to it. What is he saying? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, let the outward and the inward be acceptable in your sight, O God. Let it be real, Lord. Let it be so, O God. You are my strength, and you're my what?
Redeemer.
My Redeemer. Oh, friends, this is David from the Old Testament writing this. Think of that. And what do we have? We have a greater revelation than David had. We have not only what David had, and he was here penning the Word of God, we have the fullness of the New Testament, the revelation of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the salvation that has been given, things angels desire to look into are ours. We have seen them. We see them. Oh, wow. What a great prayer this is it not? What a conclusion to this. So we see that the revelation of creation and the revelation of the Word of God is to transform you and I into the image of God. It isn't just to feed your head some knowledge. It's to make us in the image of Jesus Christ so that our passion and our desire is, Lord, I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. Lord, tonight we pray that you will foster that in our souls, that you will create a fresh hunger in our souls, O God, for the truth, for your word. Lord, we know that even tomorrow the devil would seek to keep us from the word. Keep us from prayer. Keep us from focusing on you. Distract us, Lord. Every day there is a call to distraction. Oh God, may we heed the call of attraction from you and come and worship and open the word and dwell in your presence and discover you in a wonderful way. In Jesus' name. Amen. We'll close with a verse in 2 Timothy 3:16. Well-known verse of Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is God-breathed. It is profitable for doctrine, that is to teach you the truth. For reproof, that is to show you where you're wrong. Do we already see that we saw those things in the passage we read tonight? To teach you the truth, show you where you're wrong, right?
Yeah.
For correction, to make it right, to fix where you're wrong. Good thing. Be awful if he just showed you where you're wrong and didn't fix what was wrong. But no, the word of God is profitable for all of it, right? And to take you further for instruction in righteousness, to be able to move forward in righteousness in your life. That's what all Scripture is given. All of the word of God is for this. Breathed out by God to do these four things for you and for me. Why? So that the man or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Thank you, Lord. Thank you tonight for the two testimonies, Lord, of creation and the Word of God. And frankly, if you just have the testimony of creation, you will know there is a God. But do we not need the testimony of the Word? Do lost people not need the testimony of the Word? Is it not necessary then for those missionaries to go all over the earth and bring the testimony of the Word? They already had the testimony of creation, but they need the testimony of the Word. And thank God that we can give it. May the Lord grant us ears to hear. May He grant us eyes to see the glory of God in creation every day, and the glory of God in His Word. Do not miss it. Amen.
Hebrews 8, can I just
read? Yes, absolutely. Read.
Hebrews 4:12.
Yes.
For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Nothing in our creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before His very eyes, and He is the one to whom we are accountable.
Amen. Amen. Very true and very relevant to the passage that we read tonight. Thank you, Lord.